One more time.
I'm winning, and I don't intend on losing again.
How many know this song? All right, you can turn it down. You can turn it down. Some of you are sitting there going, he just played Santana in church. Like I told the first service, well, if you're going to leave, leave now. Amen. Because you won't be able to leave after I get done with this message. I love that song. And as we were preparing for this series, it kept going through my mind. Just because I love the lyrics of that chorus, okay? It's very simple. I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, I'm winning, and I don't intend on losing again. That could be a Christian theme song. Come on. Really, seriously. You know, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. God gave Santana that gift. Amen? He gave him that gift. He placed it inside of him. All right? So there's a God-given gift there, and I think sometimes that just comes out, even if he isn't serving. I don't know if he's serving the Lord or not, but if he's not, it's coming out, even though he doesn't even know it, right? Because there's some stuff that just comes out of us because God placed it inside of us. And even if we're not serving him or using it for him, it can't help but spill out sometimes. You know what I mean? All right, y'all. So we're going to talk about winning today. We're going to talk about winning. Amen. Got a good series coming up. You're going to love this series. We try to put a series in February. Try to put a series that's going to cheer you up, all right, and make you feel good because it's in the dead of winter, and today is a perfect day for this, right? Snowing again. It's snowing. It's snowing. It's snowing. And I hope it doesn't snow again. So I also wore bright spring colors for you today. So you have something really cheerful to look at. All right. I was going to wear a black shirt and a black vest. And Kim said, no, that's just too dark. So I wore spring colors. So the series is winning, hashtag winning. And so today I'm going to kick it off with the message, born to win. All right, you were born to win. So look at somebody and say, you were born to win. Look at somebody else, say, you're a winner. You're a winner. You're a winner. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Do this. Can you do this right here on your forehead to them? Just do this right here. Not this. Not this. This. All right? All right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. All right, so I want you to turn to two scriptures. While you're turning to Ezekiel chapter 36 and Genesis chapter 1. Ezekiel 36, put a marker there. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. And then Genesis chapter 1. I want to just say to you, if it's your first time here today at the River, welcome. My name is Bill Wall, and this is my wife Kim down in the front row, and she and I are the co-lead pastors here at the River. We're glad you're here today. We're going to do this series for 4 weeks. I'm going to kick it off today. The next Sunday, Dan Damon, who is a member of our church, he is the mayor of Marysville, and he is gifted. God has gifted him to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe, I told the first service, I believe God's going to use him to shape our nation and change our nation. And I believe Dan and I have had numerous conversations about what God's doing in his life. And I believe that he's planted right where he needs to be. And God's going to use him in our government to turn the tide and to change things around and for the glory of God. Amen. He's going to be a voice in our government for the kingdom of God, and I really believe that. So we're excited about him coming and joining our series next week. And then week three, our own teaching pastor, Ethan Bricker, is going to come with a word. How many of you are excited to hear Ethan, as always? Ethan's awesome. Awesome. Anointed. Just can't wait to hear that. And then I'll wrap it up in week four. Okay, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay, so I have 3 points today. Point number one, we were created to win. Amen? We were created to win, all right? The original purpose of God was for mankind to rule over creation. Amen? There were no limitations, none. No limitations. In a very real way, we were perfect in the beginning. Yes. Yeah. You agree with that? Yes, we were perfect. No limitations. Adam and Eve were created perfectly. The Bible says, I just read it to you, that we were created, Adam and Eve are created in the image of God, in His likeness. How many of you believe God is perfect? Okay? Then how many of you believe Adam and Eve were perfect? Amen. You can't separate the two. If they were created in the image of God, then they were created perfectly. Right? A perfect God created two perfect people. Two perfect human beings in His likeness. So they were perfect in the beginning. They were given the keys to the kingdom. They were. They were given the keys. God created them, and then He gave them the keys to the kingdom. He placed them on the earth, and He said, rule over everything. Everything on this earth is under your rule. Everything is under your rule. Everything in the air, everything in the sea, everything on the land, everything that walks, everything that crawls, everything that creeps, it's all under your authority. You have authority. That's what He told Adam and Eve. Their rule was over all of creation, not just the things that were walking and crawling and that you could see, but also the things that you couldn't see. They were rulers over all creation. Every created being was under their authority, including Satan and all of his demons. Satan and every one of his demons were under the authority of Adam and Eve. They were Satan's rulers. They were Satan's ruler. They were the rulers over the demonic, okay? Think about this. In Adam and Eve's commission to subdue the earth, they were without sickness, poverty, or sin. Sickness, sin, and poverty did not exist when Adam and Eve took their existence in the Garden of Eden, did it? No. They were perfectly created beings, and they were created to rule over the earth. Over everything that was on the earth, okay? Now, this doesn't mean that they didn't have a free will to make choices. You need to understand that they absolutely had the same free will that we have today. That hasn't changed at all. The free will that you and I have today, Adam and Eve had the exact same free will. Also, you need to understand that they also faced temptations. They had the ability to face temptation. Just because they were perfect doesn't mean they didn't face temptation. In fact, the proof of it is where we see Satan working through the serpent to tempt them to eat a fruit that they were forbidden to eat. Before Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they were perfect. Amen? Shake your head like this if you know what I'm talking about. Okay? But Satan tempted them before they ate the fruit. Right? So in their perfect state, they could still be tempted. Okay, this is going to come together for you in a few moments because you need to hear this right now. You need to understand this because in a few minutes when I get to point number three, it's really going to hit you. They were still able to be tempted even though they were perfect. Okay? So we see that. But they, even though they were able to be tempted, that we need to see that they had the authority over the enemy. They had authority over Satan because they were born with a winning nature. They were born perfect. They were born with all authority to rule and subdue. So they were born with a winning nature, and all they had to do is say to the enemy, get out. Satan came through a serpent and tempted them to do something that God told them not to do. And all they had to say to Satan, to that serpent, is get out. Get out of this garden. That's a lie. God already spoke His truth to me. That's a lie. Just get out of the garden. They had a choice to tell the enemy to get out. Amen. Part two, okay? Point number two is we need to see this. Because you need to understand this. We were born with a winning nature in the beginning. Adam and Eve were born with they were created to rule. They were created to win. They were created to reign. They were created to rule over everything. So point number two, we went from a win nature to a sin nature. We went from a win nature to a sin nature. Genesis 2, verse 8, now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, so there were two trees in the middle of the garden, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I also have referred to these trees many times as the tree of life and the tree of death, because that's what they are. The tree of life and the tree of death. If you ate from one tree, the tree of life, you would live for eternity. If you ate from the other tree, the tree of death or the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you would die. The Lord God said to them, you can eat from any tree you want to eat from except for one. You need to understand this. You can eat from any tree except for one. It wasn't the tree of life that he forbid them to eat from. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of death. Some of you need to understand that God is looking out for you. He wants you to have life and have life abundantly. He wants you to eat from the tree of life, but he wants to keep you from the tree of death. He doesn't want you to die in your sin. So he gives you a choice, but he says, eat from the tree of life and avoid the tree of death, just like he did Adam and Eve. And he told them the same thing. He said, listen, you can eat from any tree you want to, but stay away from the tree of death. Adam and Eve had a choice to make. They had a choice. They could eat from the tree of life. And I've said this many times. I believe with all of my heart. I believe if they had chosen to pick the fruit of the tree of life and eat it, then they would have never eaten from the tree of death. Come on. Because once you taste life, honey, once you taste life, you don't want nothing else. Once you taste Jesus, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is. Come on. Now, I'm going to get to that in a moment, too. Just hold on. I'm going to get to some good stuff here, all right? But I got to set the groundwork for this. So you need to see that. We could also call these trees for the purpose of this message the winning tree and the losing tree. Winning tree and losing tree. Think about this. Adam and Eve had every opportunity to eat from the winning tree and to rule and reign as winners for eternity. But they chose the tree of death and they lost it all. Second thing you need to understand about this is that Adam and Eve gave away their rightful authority. Satan didn't steal it from them. They gave it away. He didn't take it from them forcefully. He had no authority to take it from them forcefully. Remember that they ruled and reigned over all the earth, including Satan and all of his demons. So Satan had to get his authority from Adam and Eve. He couldn't take it from them. Some of you think that Satan can just do whatever he wants with you. He can just take whatever he wants from you, but he can't. Just like Adam and Eve, he had to go get his authority from them. That's why he came to them slithering like a serpent and came to deceive them. Because if he could convince them to come in agreement with him against the word of God, then they would rightfully give their authority away to him. So what he did was he convinced them to believe his lies over the truth of God's word. And the moment they came into agreement with the lies of the enemy, that very moment they opened up their hand and freely gave away the keys to the kingdom. They freely gave it to him. See, the Bible calls this exousia power. In the Bible, there's two types of power that God talks about, that the Word of God talks about. There's dunamis. How many of you have heard of dunamis power? Okay. Dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from, it's explosive power. It's the Greek word dunamis. It means explosive, okay? That's what it means. The Bible says that God has explosive power, dunamis power, but it also says that Satan has dunamis power. It does. That doesn't mean that Satan holds a candle to God. He's not even close. If Satan were an ant, God is greater than the universe, right? But that's not even a close representation of how mismatched Satan is to God. Just because Satan has dunamis power, he's not even close. I said it in the first service like this. If God were the Patriots, New England Patriots, that is, you know, the Super Bowl's this afternoon. I don't know if you know that this evening. You shouldn't shout louder about that than you did in the service today. So if God were the New England Patriots, then the opposing team would be our nursery team. You know, that our toddlers are under 1 year. Okay, that's not even a close representation, all right? I can't even put it in terms that would make you understand how much more powerful God is than Satan. It doesn't compare. Remember this, God created Lucifer. That's enough said right there, enough said. Okay? But here's something just to drive it home. There's another kind of power in the Bible that the Greek word is exousia. Now, this word exousia is an amazing word because this word actually means power and authority in legitimate hands. And only God has this type of power. But God chose to give it to those he created in his own image. So God gave us exousia power. This is the same power that Adam and Eve had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. They had exousia authority. They had authority in legitimate hands. That means when Satan came into the Garden of Eden, he had to convince them to forfeit their authority. He couldn't take it from them. He was subservient to them. He had to bow his knee to them. So he came into the garden. He convinced them that what they had wasn't good enough and that they needed something else. And today there are a lot of people that are following Jesus, that are followers of Jesus Christ, that you're forfeiting what God has planned for you for the fruit that Satan says you need right now. God has a plan for you, but we're not patient enough to wait for the plan that God has for us. And Satan comes and nothing, his plan, his schemes haven't changed. He comes to you and he lies to you just like he did Adam and Eve. And he says, listen, you don't want to wait on that plan. Look at this fruit. It's beautiful right now. It's ready for picking right now. Why don't you just reach out and grab it? It's yours. You can have it. What's God making you wait for? Why are you waiting so long on that plan that God has? Maybe that plan isn't what God really has for you at all. Maybe you need to wait, or maybe you need to just grab this fruit and go right now with this. There's many believers are reaching out and they're grabbing that fruit that Satan's deceiving them with, and what they're doing is they're rightfully giving him authority in their lives. They're just saying, okay, here you go. You can do what you want with me. Because the moment you give up the authority that God has rightfully given to you and placed in your hands, the moment you give it up to the enemy, his whole mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's just going to have his way in your life. Talk to so many people that said, I don't know why my life's going like this. I don't know why things are just falling apart around me. I don't know why it's just happening like this to me in my life. And the first thing I ask them, have you given Satan an authority in your life? Have you given him room to operate in your life in some way? Let's start retracing your steps. You know, the first thing you need to do when you lose something is retrace your steps. Right? How many have ever done that? You lost your phone, you lost your keys, you know what I'm saying? You're like daily. Right? You get over 50, it's like, man, you're constantly losing it, right? You need a leash for everything. And the first thing you do when you lose something is you retrace your steps. You go back where you came from to find out where you lost it. Well, there's some of you need to retrace your steps and find out where you gave Satan authority in your life. Where did you forfeit your exousia power? Where did you give it away to him? Where did you, here's a better way to say it. Where did you come in agreement with his lies? Because wherever you came into agreement with his lies, that's where you gave up your authority. And what you need to do to get that back is you need to go back there and say, no, you lied to me. I take that back. I dispartner with you, Satan. I sever my ties with you. You're a liar and the father of lies. I sever it right here. You know what, Satan? Get out. Just get out. And that's what Adam and Eve should have done, but because they didn't, because they chose to take from the fruit that Satan deceived them with, because they chose to come in agreement with Satan against God's word, they forfeited exousia power. They gave away the keys of the kingdom, and they went from a win nature to a sin nature. Just like that. Just like that. And then we see the fruit of a sin nature playing out in their lives. One son kills another. And on and on and on. And then what happened after that? From that day forward, every person that was born with a sin nature. You were born with a sin nature. How many of you know that? You were born with a sin nature. Every person on the face of this earth to this day that is born into sin, is born with a sin nature. It's true. We went from a win nature to a sin nature. Ephesians 2:1 says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and your sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by," say it with me, "nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." By nature. Because of Adam and Eve's choice to give away exousia power, we were born into a sin nature, which means there's nothing we could do. We rightfully gave away the authority. We needed somebody. We needed somebody to come and be the victor for us. Amen? We needed somebody to come and win back the win nature. So that brings me to point number three. We were born again to win. Amen? Look at somebody say, "You were born again to win." You were born again to win. Amen. The win nature was restored. Jesus restored it all. Amen? He restored it all. Now, let me just say this. I know I get you to say this to each other a lot, but it's because I want you to get it down deep inside of you, okay? I feel like there's power in our words, and when we say something that's powerful. So I want you to look at somebody and say, "Jesus restored it all." Now, see, some of you said it, but you didn't really believe it. Jesus restored it all. Can you look at somebody and just overemphasize? Just say it like that. Jesus restored it all. There you go. There you go. There you go. I'm looking at somebody. I'm watching you. You're getting it now. All. All. He restored it all. He held nothing back. He poured out every drop so that we get everything back that the enemy deceived us to give away. Everything. Listen, because of the sacrifice that Jesus made, he has given us the ability to be perfect again. I just hear some religious feathers ruffling right now in this building. Did you just say we can be perfect? Oh. Yes. I did. Perfect. In fact, Jesus himself said, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Yes, he did. What do you think? He's playing a game with us? He's not going to tell us to do something that can't be done. He's not going to tell you to be perfect if it's impossible for you to be perfect. The problem might be, the reason you may have problems with that is because you think you need to do something to be perfect. But this is not dependent on you and what you do. The only thing you need to do is trust in him. The only thing you need to do is let him do it. In fact, he's already done it. You just need to receive what he's already done. Come on. Man, I'm liking my preaching this morning. Good. Preaching to myself. See, because part two of the scripture in Ephesians, I read Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, but 4 through 7 says, "But God." Come on. Do we need to get a hanky wave right there? "But God." being rich in mercy because of the great love which he loved, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So because you've been raised up to life again because of what God has done, you've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Who's more perfect than Christ? Anybody know? Nobody. So we're seated with the perfect one. We're restored to our perfect state. Not only are we restored to our perfect state, but the exousia power that Adam and Eve gave away, Jesus took it back. And he gave it back to you and me. So we have the same authority in legitimate hands that Adam and Eve had in the beginning. It's true. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Once again, Satan is under our authority. Because in redeeming man, Jesus retrieved what man had given away from the throne of victory, from the throne of triumph, from the throne of winning, the winning throne. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given to us. All authority in heaven and in earth. That means that anything in the air, or anything on the ground, or anything in the water, or anything beneath the earth, or anything in the sky above, or anything in the second heaven, or anything above that, we have authority and power over all things. Woo! And so nothing is impossible. Nothing is withheld. It's all been restored. Excusia power is in these hands right here. I have all authority in legitimate hands to say to the enemy, get out. If he's messing with me, get out. That's all I have to say. Get out. All I have to say is what Adam and Eve should have said in the beginning. But hey, they did what they did, right? And God came and restored his perfect plan. And he gave it back to us. But see, there's so many people that are followers of Jesus that live as they're in the body of Christ, but they don't believe this. They don't believe in the identity which Christ died for. They believe so far below what Jesus actually died to restore. So they walk around with this half-hearted winning mindset. They got one foot in the win nature and one foot still in the sin nature. And I'm going to say it. The reason that most people stay like that is because they believe that they got to do something in their own power. They haven't really surrendered all. They haven't really sacrificed. They haven't really said, you know what, I lay all that down. I lay everything that I want down and I give it all to you, God, because I know what you want for me is greater than what I want for me. I know it's better. I know you have a better plan. See, Satan continually lies and tempts us, just like he did Adam and Eve in the beginning. Remember, we've been restored to a perfect state. That doesn't mean you can't be tempted. He keeps tempting. He'll come and lie to you, and he hasn't changed his tactics. He's going to lie to you the same lies he lied to Adam and Eve. Once again, there are two trees before us, the tree of life and the tree of death. Once again, we have a choice to eat from the tree of life daily and live for eternity, or pick the fruit of the tree of death and once again give up our authority and die. Choose life. I wish I could talk more about the tree of life and death, but how many of you were here last year when I spoke the message, two trees, two choices, two voices? How many of you have heard that? You remember that? Okay. A lot of hands didn't go up. You need to go on our website and find that message. It's called Two Trees, Two Choices, Two Voices. Okay? And I will show you in that message throughout the entire Word of God where this theme is throughout the Bible. You see it from Genesis to Revelation. You see it from Genesis to Revelation all throughout the Bible. Here's something really powerful. I can't re-preach that message today, but here's something powerful. You see it in the beginning in the Garden of Eden, Tree of Life and the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil, or the Tree of Death, okay? You see it at the end of Revelation in chapter 22. You see the Tree of Life mentioned there and the choice of death or the Tree of Death. But right smack in the middle, we have a Savior who came to restore life, who came to restore the wind nature, and he died on a tree, and on both sides of him were two thieves hanging on trees, and one tree represented life. Remember, one thief said to the Savior, Lord, and when you come into your kingdom, remember me. When you come into paradise, remember me, forgive me. Remember, he said to the other thief, what are you doing cursing him? We deserve to hang here and die, but this man has done nothing wrong. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He represents the tree of life. He made a choice to live for eternity, and the other thief is hanging on the tree of death. Right in the middle of the Bible. Genesis throughout all generations, how's that? To Revelation, right? Jesus came and restored it all. He came and restored a win nature. Look at somebody say, you're born again to win. I'm going to point out a couple more things, then I'm closing, okay? A couple more things. Satan has no right or authority to steal from you anymore. He has to get permission from you. So you can't say, the devil made me do it, okay, Flip Wilson? You can't say that anymore. Everybody over 50 laughed. Everybody else is like, who's Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. That's a pretty good imitation right there, impersonation. You can't say that because the devil can't make you do nothing. He has no authority over you. Remember, you have exousia. Everybody say exousia. You have exousia power, authority in legitimate hands. So he'll come to you. Oh, trust me, he'll come to you and he'll lie to you. He'll come to you and he'll tell you all kinds of lies. He'll try to convince you because the only thing he can do now is deceive you into giving your power away. But if you refuse to agree with him, see, you have to agree with him against this. That's what you have to do. He has to get you to agree with him against the truth of God's word. Now, here's something powerful. That's why it's so important to get this in here. Because if you live the Word of God, not just read it, but know it, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. In other words, when you come up against those temptations, if you know the truth, then you'll know immediately the lies of the enemy. You'll know that voice, and when he speaks those lies to you, all you got to say is, "That you liar, get out. Get out. Get out of my life. Quit speaking your lies to me. You're a liar and the father of lies. Get out." But the reason so many people are in trouble that are in the church today is because they don't know this. They think just believing in Jesus is fine and that's all I need and that's going to get me through. You know what? That gets you saved. Right? That gets you saved, but you can just as easily give that authority away again. Just like Adam and Eve, they were born perfect. They were born with a wind nature, but they just forfeited the wind nature for a sin nature because they came in agreement. So you got to know the word. You got to know the word. You got to know it, put it into practice in your life. And if you do, then you understand Satan has no authority over you. He cannot make you do anything. You just speak the truth of God's word and he has to flee. He has to get out. He can't stand it. And he certainly can't stand it when he comes up against somebody that knows the word of God. When he finds somebody that knows the word, man, it scares him. Scares him. His demons will go running back to him. They know the word of God. I have no power there. I have no authority there. Well, say, you know what Satan says to him? Deceive them. Trick them. Get them to forfeit the fruit that they have for this other fruit. Make it look more appealing to them. And I said this to the first service, and I'm going to say it again because a couple people came up to me afterwards and said, thank you for saying this because I've said these very things. I've done these very things. But there's many people who you have forfeited the plan that God has for your life for a fruit that Satan puts right in front of your face. He's made it look real appealing to you. Like this will be better for you. But it's a lie from the enemy, and you'll know it's a lie if you're in this word. Well, I've just been waiting for so long. I've been waiting so long for that spouse. I've been waiting so long for my marriage to get whole and well. I've been waiting so long for that perfect job. I've been waiting so long for my kids to get saved. I've been waiting so long for this, or I've been waiting so long for that. God has a plan. He has a perfect plan, and if you know his word, you'll know his plan, and you'll trust his plan. Don't be deceived by the instant fruit that Satan puts in front of you that makes it look appealing to you. Don't forfeit your exousia power for that garbage. You need to tell him to get out. Amen? The second thing is this. I think that, you know, we need to understand that I think we have a greater advantage than Adam and Eve had. In fact, I know we do. The Word of God even tells us that. Did you know that? All right, so here's why I believe we have a greater advantage. We know evil. We know evil. Adam and Eve did not know evil before they picked of the forbidden fruit. Right? Because the fruit was from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So they had no knowledge of evil. All they knew was the goodness of God. That's what they knew. We know evil. We know the destruction of evil. We know what it's done to our lives. We know what it's done to our families. We know what it's done to this world. We know evil. We know how destructive it is. And I'm telling you, if you know the goodness of God, if you have tasted the goodness of God, you don't want any part of the evil. Amen? Again, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted his goodness, you don't want any part of evil. So we got a greater advantage. We can see evil coming a mile away if we know the word of God. Amen? We can. The Bible says this, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, Satan will not outsmart us, for we are familiar with his evil schemes. Why is he not going to outsmart us? Because we're familiar with his evil. John 10:10. Jesus said this in John 10:10. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. We absolutely can see the goodness of God as opposed to the evil of the enemy. All we have to do is keep our eyes open. And the last thing you need to understand is this. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. Amen. I can't emphasize this enough. You're a winner. You are a winner. You have a win nature. You've been born again into a win nature. The old sin nature's gone. The win nature is installed. You're operating on the new operating system. The most updated, right? And this is the thing I love about with Jesus. There's no updates. You don't have to keep updating that system. It's good once and for all, right? One drop of blood. That's all it took. That's all it took to make you brand new and restore the win nature. So we're winners. We're winners. I'm winning. Ezekiel. I had you turn to Ezekiel. I wasn't going to leave it out here. I'm going to close with this. Ezekiel 36:33. I want you to see this. This is powerful. This is a prophetic scripture, okay? Everybody know what a prophetic scripture is? It means it's a scripture speaking about something that will happen in the future, okay? So this is what it says in Ezekiel 36:33. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord says. on the day I cleanse you from all your sins. Okay, how many of you have been cleansed from all your sins? On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. Now, I got to stop there and say this, because sometimes we read Scripture and we think too literally. He cleansed us from all our sins, and he'll resettle our towns, and our ruins will be rebuilt. He's talking about the ruins of your life. Right? Resettling your towns, that means he's going to establish things in your life that need to be established. He's going to resettle them. He's going to repopulate them. He's going to bring people in. When people would resettle a town, they'd come back to a town that they had abandoned. God's going to bring people back into your life. He's going to resettle your town. You can take hold of that however you want. If I were you and I had children who were away from the Lord, I'd grab hold of that one right there. I'd grab a hold of that. God promised he'd resettle your towns. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land was laid waste. This land that has become like the Garden of Eden. Look at this. This land that was laid waste has become like what? The Garden of Eden. You see this prophetic scripture? The day, when's this going to happen? The day that he restores your sins, that he washes your sins away. The day that he restores your sin nature. That day, this land, what land? The land you're living in will become like the Garden of Eden. It's a powerful scripture. He's saying that day that you receive Jesus, the blood of Jesus that covers your sins and takes them away, that day that you receive the wind nature back again, that day you become like it was in the beginning. The Garden of Eden. And what happened in the Garden of Eden? Adam and Eve were perfect. They walked in the cool of the day with God. They were perfect. There was no sin, no sickness, no poverty. It didn't exist. It couldn't exist. The enemy couldn't bring it because they had authority over the enemy. This is telling us that as winners, as we receive Jesus Christ, we go back to the beginning like it was in the beginning with God. There's no sin, sickness, or poverty can exist in my life. None. It has to get out because I have authority over it. And all I have to say to it is get out. Sin, get out. Nothing is impossible. All things are possible to him who believes. Amen? Nothing's impossible. So let me just go one more step with this. So think about this. Because I think it's just powerful what God has given us and the authority he's given us. But we just take it all for granted so much. And we need to step into this authority. Now, God doesn't want us to abuse this authority or power in any way. Okay? So he's only going to allow us to use it as it glorifies him. The moment we become poor stewards or bad stewards with this authority, it's going to get stripped away from us. God's not going to allow us to abuse his power and his authority, okay, that he's given us, okay? And Satan would want to tempt you to do that, but you got to be a good steward of the authority God's given you. So let me give you an example. I believe that we have the authority and the power because God said in the beginning we have authority over all the earth, don't we? Everything, right? Everything on the earth we have authority over. That means not just animals, right? Not just creatures. We have authority over everything. The only thing you don't have authority over is another human being. Because you have equal authority with them. Well, that's good right there. I could preach on that for a good hour right there. You need to quit trying to tell people what to do. Let Holy Spirit lead them and guide them. Kim always says it like this. We joke around. She says, "You're not the boss of me." That's what she always says. We're always joking about it, and I always say, "Yes, I am." And I throw out a scripture that I shouldn't throw out about the head of the household and all that kind of stuff. But, and then she throws out, "Well, you should love your wife as Christ loves the church." So, and gave himself up for her. Yes, and I just say, "Yes, baby, yes, baby." So, but think about this. We have all authority and power. Jesus gave us examples of this. He actually spoke it to us. He actually told us what we could do. He was on his way to Jerusalem one day with his disciples, and as he was walking into Jerusalem, he was hungry, so he went to a fig tree to pick some figs and eat some breakfast. And when he got to the fig tree, there were leaves on the tree, but no figs. So he told the tree, may you never bear fruit again. And when he spoke those words, this is how powerful his words are. He spoke those words as they walked away and headed into Jerusalem. That fig tree died. It shriveled up and died. And later that day, when they were on their way back to Bethany, where they came from, they passed that fig tree that was just outside of Bethphage. And when they did, the tree was dead. And the disciples pointed to it and said, do you believe this? That tree that you cursed this morning has died. And Jesus said, this is paraphrased, but read it in the word and take what you will from it. But Jesus basically said, oh, that's nothing. He said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you'll say to that mountain, and maybe he was pointing to Mount Hermon off in the distance, you'll say to that mountain, get up and remove yourself and throw yourself into the sea, and it will have to obey you. That's what he said. Get up and throw yourself into the sea. Now, some people would say, well, he's just talking figuratively. He wasn't talking literally. Really? It was a literal fig tree that he cursed and it died. Hello? It was a literal tree. Now, there are a lot of reasons why he cursed that tree. It was more than just that. It was more than just to show them what they could do. But I can't get into that right now. But you need to hear this. Jesus was saying that we have authority and power over everything. I believe that we can say to physical things, get out of my way, and they have to move. Now, some of you sitting there because you've listened to so many lies of the enemy, and you're going, oh, that's witchcraft. That's no good. Really? God created all things. He gave us this authority and power. Just because the enemy has taken something and twisted it and made it evil doesn't mean it didn't originate with God. And some of you have sacrificed the authority that you have, the legitimate authority you have, because you've been listening to lies of the enemy. Because he twisted something. He did that so you won't use it on him. He's deceived you into giving away the power that you legitimately have. You have the authority and the power to say to a tumor that's in your body, get out! And it has to move. It has to get up and walk itself out of your body. It does. I mean, you've seen it happen. Why do you think sickness leaves our body when we command it to leave? Because we have authority over the physical too. Because Jesus took the stripes for that. It's all part of his plan. He restored it to us. Right? Listen, some of you, I'm just going to stay here for a minute. Man, I know I'm 11 minutes over. Who cares? Super Bowl doesn't start till 6 or something like that. Thank you. I think so. I think Jesus is moving right now. Listen, some of you have been, you've had doubts in your mind about what God is doing. You've seen people pray for people and their legs grow out. And the enemy has put doubt in there. You've been believing the lies of the enemy. You're going, oh, I don't know about that stuff. I don't know about that mess. Really? Jesus cursed a fig tree. Then he said, you can tell mountains to get up and throw themselves in the sea. You don't think you can tell a leg to grow? You have the authority to do it. You have the power in you to do it. You just have to believe in it. You can tell the enemy, you take your hands off my children. Take your hands off of them. I break your hold. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus, and I tell you to let them go. He has to obey you because it's been restored to you. But you got to believe it. You got to believe that you have that authority. You got to believe that you have exousia power. I've shown it to you in the Word of God. I've shown you how it's been restored to us. It's ours. Yeah, but Pastor Bill, what if I say it and it doesn't happen? Well, then you just keep saying it. You just keep saying it. What, are you just going to quit because you said it one time and it didn't happen instantaneously like you thought it should? Keep saying it. Keep taking authority over it. All right, I'm going to say something the Lord told me to say. So I'm thinking about our military. Imagine where our military would be if the sergeants, who's ever been in the military? Anybody been in the military before? Who's the one that, drill sergeants? Is that the one that really mean guys? You know what I'm talking about? Anybody been a drill sergeant? Anybody?
Good. Those mean guys. They do it because they love you. You know, you go into boot camp. They still call it boot camp. You go into boot camp. That means you're a rookie, right? You're brand new. You get off the bus. They're shouting at you when you get off the bus, right? They're shouting at you all the way to your whatever they call it, barracks or whatever they call it. They're shouting at you. They're shouting at you constantly, right? You're going through boot camp. They are trying to whip you into shape. They're trying to make a soldier out of you. And I'm going to tell you something. What kind of drill sergeant, what kind of military we would have if our drill sergeants, you got off the bus and they said, okay, well, if you'd like to, would you just walk over here to the, right over here on this line, please. Would you just step on this line here? Thank you. And if you didn't do it, they went, okay, that's all right. If you don't want to step on the line, it's okay. You don't have to step on the line. It's all right. Just stay right where you're at. You know? Would you mind doing 50 push-ups? Would you mind? No, 50's too much? Okay, 25, 10, 5? Just do a push-up. You can do it girl style push-up. Just go ahead. Just one. I mean, you can imagine we would not be the United States of America anymore, right? Somebody would take us over. The point is this. They don't stop with one command. They're going to keep barking at you until you get in line. Because they have authority over you. And they're going to exercise their authority, right? They're going to make a soldier out of you. And I'm telling you, you have authority over the enemy. And it's time you start exercising your authority because you're a winner. You have a win nature. You're winning. You're winning. You're winning. You're winning. You're winning. And you don't intend on losing again, do you? You're a winner. Look at somebody and say, you're a winner. You're a winner. All right, so watch this. Here we go. Let's close it with this. Let's close it out, and then we're gonna have the winning celebration meal together, okay? All right, so here's what the Lord says. So he says, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I am the Lord, and that I have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. And then in in chapter 37 of Ezekiel, verse 1, this is what the Lord says. He gives a vision. Now get this. He gives a vision. Now this is a prophetic vision of what's going to happen in the future, okay? Because he just spoke this word to him, and he said, this is what's going to happen when I take all your sins away, when I restore you to the Garden of Eden. This is what's going to happen. You ready? Ezekiel 37:1. Then the Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, son of man. Now get this. Then he asked me, son of man, can these bones become living people again? I want you to hear him asking you this question. I want you to hear him asking you, the winners, this question. Because this is who he's asking. He's asking you and me today. Saying, son of man, can these bones become living people again? Oh, sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones. Listen to me. He didn't say, I'm going to speak a prophetic message. He said, you speak a prophetic message. You do it. I'm going to tell you something I told the first service. God is not interested in us just being robots and doing what he tells us to do. God wants a partnership. He wants a partnership with you. He gave you a win nature. He restored a win nature so that you would partner with him and that you would speak a prophetic message that he told you to speak. So this is what he said. He said, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again.
I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. And these bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then the skin formed over their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. I'm going to stop right there. I'll tell you what the Lord said after this. I want you to look at me. Turn that off for a second. Take that off that screen. Everybody look here. This is what the Lord said. He said, you breathe life into them. You tell them to come alive. You command the breath of God to come into them. And when you do, they will rise up. And what happened? They rose up as a mighty army. Rose up as a mighty army. Why? Because you were created to win. You're a winner. You were created to win. The Spirit of God is upon you, and he's anointed you to preach good news. He's anointed you to go out into this world and to speak a prophetic message and to say, life, come into them. Breath of God, come into them. Live again. Live again. You're called to go out into this world and command the dry bones to live again. Because you were created a winner. How many of you want to get out in this world and tell the dry bones to live again? How many of you want to exercise what God has given you to do? To be a winner. Come on, you're winners. Look at somebody and say, you're a winner. You're a winner. Winner. I like it. This winner, winner, chicken dinner. Let's eat. Stand with me. Stand with me. Take your cup. If you got a communion cup when you came in, I want you to take hold of it. If you didn't get one, raise your hand, and they're coming down the aisles right now. Raise your hand real high. Real high. Keep it up until they get to you. Keep your hand up until they get to you. I want you to have one. If you received a cup, go ahead and peel the top piece off and reveal the bread. And then take the next layer off and reveal the juice. Matthew 19:26 says, Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. Humanly speaking, you can't do it. Aren't you glad we're not just human? Don't you ever say, I'm only human again. Because that's a lie from the enemy. You're not just human, you're superhuman. Come on, you are. It's okay to say that because the power of God lives inside of you. You are supernatural. You're a winner. And this is our victory banquet right here. Amen. After the Super Bowl tonight, one team's going to go out and celebrate with their team and have a victory banquet. One team's not going to have such a good chicken dinner, yes. One team's not going to have such a good meal afterwards, but here's the thing. We're winners because of the body that was broken and the blood that was shed by Jesus Christ. We get to celebrate this victory banquet, amen, as winners. So I just want you to hold it up for a moment. Father, I thank you for this meal. I thank you, Father, that it reminds us of what you've done for us. It reminds us, Father, that we're winners. It reminds us, Father, that you did it all. And all we have to do is believe, trust in you, and allow you to speak through us. So, Lord, today we celebrate together as winners. We celebrate, Father, the winning nature that you restored to us. Father, we give you glory for it. If you're in this place today and you just have said through this message, you just said, man, Pastor Bill, I've realized that I have not been living with the winning nature. I've been believing less than what God has given to me and what he's restored me to. I just want you to raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Several. Just keep your hand up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the lying spirit of the enemy. I take authority over every lie that has been spoken to each person that has their hand raised. In the name of Jesus, I crush that spirit of lying right now under my feet. And I command it to get out in the name of Jesus. I command the truth of your word to be established in their hearts in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Thank you for that right now. Amen, amen. Would you just take the bread? Father, we thank you for your body that was broken. Would you break it and take it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring life. Thank you, Jesus, for taking sickness and disease upon yourself so that I can be whole. Thank you, Jesus. And the cup. Cup of victory, the winning cup. The cup that represents the blood of Jesus that was poured out for the restoration of mankind. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for your blood. We receive it now. Amen, amen. Come on, just give him praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making us winners, Jesus. Thank you for making us winners. Thank you for seating us with you, Father, in heavenly realms. Thank you, Father, that we're your sons and you're your daughters. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.